Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
If you listen to the Beacon Broadcast on a regular basis, you know that we have now moved into chapter 3 of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and we are learning the true biblical formula for how to overcome sin. In chapter 2, Paul deals with some of the counterfeit remedies that are proposed by false teachers. And the ones that he was concerned about were the ones that had to do with all kinds of extra-biblical regulations. There were teachers in Colossae, not in the church of the Colossians, but there were teachers in the city who were saying that you have to add a lot of regulations to your life if you're going to please God. And it sounds like they were primarily adding regulations from the Mosaic Law, dietary laws, and so forth. And Paul describes these in verse 21 of chapter 2 as do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. He talks about these as subjecting yourselves to regulations, things which perish with the using, the commandments and doctrines of men, things which have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but, he says, are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And that's what we're interested in, is how to truly subdue these sinful temptations, how to overcome these indulgences of the flesh. And he says these extra-biblical regulations, these man-made regulations, these regulations that have to do with things external rather than dealing with the heart, do not produce the promised effect. They don't help you to subdue the strength of the flesh. Well, what does? Well, that's chapter 3, verse 1 and following, and that's where we're going on this Friday, August 26, as we gather together around God's Word. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting us. We do need your financial help. How to overcome sin? Number one, understand your new spiritual power. Chapter 3 begins with these words. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And it starts with a proper understanding of your position in Christ. If you were raised with Christ, were you? That's the question. Were you? And he makes it clear, having already discussed this in chapter 2, that born-again believers have, in fact, been raised with Christ. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. Remember chapter 2, verse 12? Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 20, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. Oh, yes, indeed. Now then, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, the assumption is that you were. He's writing to people that claim to be believers, and Paul has every reason to believe that they have truly been born again, though he can't see every heart, and he recognizes there could be some members of the Colossian church who have never truly been regenerated. Probably there are some in every church, in every location, in every place around the world who are members of the church visible but have never been truly regenerated. But Paul has reason to believe that at least most of these people really have. Something has powerfully affected their lives. The gospel came in to a pagan Gentile city where people were involved in the worship of idols and in the worst kind of licentiousness that you can possibly imagine, which is almost always associated with idolatry. And the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ saves from sin, had come to them, and they believed it, and they became followers of Christ, and they left their idolatry, they left their lasciviousness, they left behind this worldliness, this submission to the things of the world that their neighbors are still very much captive to, and they have a new life, a new heart, new desires. Their life is new. Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, since I gave my life to Him. And that's exactly what had happened to the Colossian believers. And so when Paul comes to chapter 3, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ as you claim to be, if you then were raised with Christ as you have been, if you are saved, if you then were raised with Christ as every true born-again believer has been, in other words, understand the spiritual reality of what's involved in the new birth. Believers died with Christ to the old realm. We're talking about how to overcome sin, and it starts with a proper understanding of your new spiritual power. Believers died with Christ, and when they did, they died to the old realm, the old world, the old life. Believers were raised with Christ to the new heavenly realm. Understand that. Understand this new spiritual reality. And understand the power of the resurrected Christ that now is within you. Here's how Peter put it in 2 Peter 1:4. He said, by which you have, which have been given to us, we who are saved, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that'll make a difference. Don't tell me that it's possible to be born again and nothing changes. That it's possible to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if you die, you go to heaven, but nothing fundamentally has changed in your life. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Paul's teaching in Colossians. That's not what Peter says. Let me read it again in 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That takes place when you are born again. You become a partaker of the divine nature. We don't usually put it in quite that language, but that's what takes place. And what that means is, he goes on in this verse to say, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped that already. You become a partaker of the divine nature already. We usually talk about this in terms of new life. We have Christ living within us, Christ living in me. This is the kind of language we normally use, but the language Peter uses here is partakers of the divine nature, which of course is obviously true. If Christ is living in me, who's living in me? God is living in me. Who's living in me? The divine nature is within me. Now that's pretty powerful. And so if you are saved, if you have been raised with Christ, in the words of Colossians 3:1, there's been some powerful changes that have taken place in your life, accomplished by the power of God. Just as surely as it takes the power of God to raise the dead to life, such as raising Lazarus from the grave. No human power can do that, only divine power. So it takes divine power to accomplish a spiritual resurrection when a dead sinner is raised to life anew, to this new life in Christ, to become a possessor of the divine nature. It takes the power of God. That's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Is that power enough to overcome sinful temptation? That's the power that raises dead sinners to life. Is that power enough to overcome sin? This is a real power, a demonstrated power, not a theoretical power. And it is a continuing power that is available to the people of God, partakers of the divine nature. That's power. And that's available because Christ is on the throne of God. He has authority and power to bestow gifts. He dispenses rich spiritual blessings from above to his children below. He is the source of life, both saving life and sanctifying life. This new life is real. This new life is powerful. Yes, remaining sin is real. Remaining sin is powerful, but not as powerful as the power of Almighty God. Do I hear an amen? Are you with me? Do you agree that this is so? All right, then. Act in the light of it. Understand your new spiritual power and act accordingly. Call upon Christ to help you. Call upon the power that is within you. Call upon the promises that have been made to you in Christ. All of this was represented symbolically in baptism. Back to chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It was the baptism of the Spirit that accomplished this great change within the lives of believers, but water baptism pictures the believer's change. Baptism is an important ordinance, an important rite for every believer. We, I'm afraid, minimize that. Those of us who don't want to give the impression that baptism saves you, we don't want to let anyone think that we're teaching baptismal regeneration. We make it clear that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and baptism doesn't save you. But I think sometimes in making that proper and biblical emphasis, we don't give water baptism its true biblical place. But water baptism is an important rite because it reminds us of this truth that we need to be reminded of, that we have new life in Christ. Baptism was commanded by Christ. Baptism was practiced by Christ and his disciples. Baptism is assumed for every believer in the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't know anything of any unbaptized believers. Baptism is our visible identity with Christ in his church. And it is an illustration of, an important reminder of the truth we're talking about now that we need to remind ourselves of regularly in order to overcome sin. To understand our new spiritual power, symbolized by that coming up out of the water baptism, which symbolizes the resurrection from the dead. We need these things. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.